Good evening, everybody. First of all, I want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving from Lighthouse Bible Church. We're glad that you're with us tonight. And we'll begin as we always begin service, and that is by entering into prayer. And there's no better time, of course, to be entering into prayer when we're concentrating on being thankful to our Lord. So let's do that right now. Father, we just do thank you so much. The great thing, Father, about you and your word is that everything that we're thankful for from your word, we can be thankful for all the time. That it does not depend on our situation. It does not depend on what's going on with our families or our jobs or any of those things. That what you've done for us and what you've given to us is permanent and perfect and wonderful. And Father, so tonight, help us just to spend some time now and in the coming days reflecting on those things. And we just know that if we do that, our hearts will be more full of gratitude than ever. And of course, the center of all of that is your precious Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for who he is. We thank you for what he has done for us. And we thank you that you've placed us in him and that we're going to be with him and you forever. And we also this evening, Father, do lift up the saints that are having difficulty at this time. We know that you're there for them, and we just hope that their eyes can be opened up to all that you have for them as well. We ask this in Christ's name, by the power of God the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, just a couple of things tonight to remember, because tomorrow is Thanksgiving. Though we normally have a Thursday night service, we will not be having one this Thursday because we're going to let people have that day to be with their family. So tomorrow night, there will not be that informal Bible study. Also, I wanted to mention that tonight we will not be having prayer meeting either, so that several of our prayer warriors are also cooking warriors. So we're going to let them get home for that as well. And I do want to just mention tonight, too, some gratitude in our hearts for the good people at the Lions Club who contacted us and were kind enough to take care of several of the members of our congregation in a way that they wanted to in terms of providing the families food for Thanksgiving this year. So we want to just express our gratitude to them as well. All right, Thanksgiving. Well, you know, the title of tonight's message is 14 colossal reasons to be thankful. And, you know, I don't know about you, but myself and a lot of people I know, at Thanksgiving time, we kind of sometimes like to make lists. Lists of things we're thankful for, lists of how to express our gratitude, lists of all those companies with those sincere greetings of Thanksgiving followed right afterwards by a desire to have us shop on Black Friday. A lot of lists that we can come up with. And, you know, the thing about lists, like I in the past have done lists when it comes to what I'm thankful for. And the thing about it is that whenever I put on my list something earthly, the problem is that when I go back to that list next year, it might not be the same. For example, I could say, I thank you for good health. But if I come back next year and I'm in lousy health, all of a sudden I look at that list and I'm thinking, what was I thinking when I put that down? Or if I say, I thank you for my great family life, but all of a sudden in the coming year something happens to just break family apart, then I look at that list again and I'm saying, what was I thinking? And so I'm here tonight to help all of us out by putting together a list of things that we could be thankful for all the time. And the reason is because they never change. And of course, that's because God gave them to us, and they're perfect. And so tonight, we're going to look at 14 colossal reasons to be thankful. Again, happy Thanksgiving to everybody. We know, of course, that this holiday was first started in memory of the first people that came to this continent to establish what they did here in terms of religious freedom and in terms of all the things we come now to know as the United States. It started small. It started with people who only wanted to find a place where they would be free to worship apart from all the pressures and persecutions that were in their home country at the time. And so we remember that, and we understand that the nature of this really, despite what the world and marketing wants to tell us, is to simply take some time and consider some reasons why we're thankful to God. And I can think of no better thing to be thankful for all the time than Jesus Christ. He and we're going to see this tonight, that he is the center of everything good that we can always count on forever when it comes to things that we're thankful for. And I hope to bring that through this evening as we take some time. I'm not going to keep you too long tonight. I know that we're excited about tomorrow. But I do want to just give you this, take it with you, think about it during the coming days, hopefully use it. And again, it's just 14 colossal things to be thankful for. You know, the Bible is so rich. It really is. It provides rich material for our hearts and souls, no matter what it is we're dealing with. If you're dealing with death, you can go to the Bible and get rich material to understand that. If you're questioning why you're here, or if you're dealing with sin, or dealing with feeling guilty, or whatever it is that you're dealing with in life, family problems, business problems, it doesn't matter. The Bible has a rich set of answers for all of it. And it turns out that this holiday tomorrow, Thanksgiving, is no exception. And I just want to be just really simple and straightforward and just bring forward that this year. Now, I gave myself the challenge of this title yesterday. Only it's funny because when I gave it to myself, it only started out as 12. I said, I wonder if I can just put together 12 reasons, solid reasons, for all of us to be thankful. And, of course, it grew to 14. And I didn't know exactly what those things would be, but I knew that God's word would point them out and reveal them to me in time to get here tonight, and that's exactly what happened. Things like wisdom, treasures. I want you to just listen and think about, aren't these things that you want to be thankful for? Wisdom, isn't that something that you should be thankful for? You can't argue with wisdom or treasures or wealth or strength. We all want strength or peace or a destiny in life. Or forgiveness for the things that we've done wrong. Or hope for the future. Or love. Or being made complete. How about that one? You see, these are all things that people really need. And down deep, everybody knows that we need those things. Now here's the thing. I have 14 things, and I know that 14 things is a lot of things. As a matter of fact, it's really hard to be grateful for 14 things at once. Even if you try, it's kind of like juggling things in your brain. It's really hard. So I don't expect that, and that's not practical. But what you can do, what all of us can do tonight and in the coming days, is pick one or maybe two, maybe just one, and concentrate on it and ponder that marvelous one thing that you can be thankful for and soak it all in and just find a way just to be grateful for that one thing for a while. Then you can come back later and you can check out the list and then you can take another one and do the same thing. I guarantee you if you do that, it will do your heart a lot of good. Now the fact is though, I won't be seeing you for the next few days because we're not meeting again till Sunday. So I'm going to give you all 14 tonight so you have them. Are you ready for the 14 things? All right, here we go. Number one is grace. Number one is grace. We could, of course, start and end there. And I'm not going to preach on every one of these things tonight because I've preached on every one of these things a lot. I just want to put the word up, and I know you know what that is, most of you. And it's basically the fact that God gives without respect of who deserves it or not. And he gives fully and tremendously. And all you have to do is look at Jesus Christ and what he's done for us and understand that. And so one thing that we can be thankful for today and every day is God's grace. The second thing we can be thankful for is the peace that Christ has accomplished for us. And I mean by that the fact that we are at peace with God forever. That he's reconciled us to his Father forever because of what he did on the cross, the blood of his cross. And no matter what happens in life, we can rest on that. We can know that we're at peace with God. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are at peace with God forever, and he's at peace with you forever. And no matter what it is on the outside that's happening, you can go there on the inside and know that that's solid and will never change. We can give thanks this evening and tomorrow and all the time for the Trinity, for the fact that we have a Father in heaven, and our Father in heaven is God himself. And he's the same Father as our Lord Jesus Christ has. We can be thankful for that all the time. That's never going to change. We get to pray to this God the Father anytime we want to. And so it's a reminder. Every time we pray, it's a reminder of this kind of gratitude that we should have, that the creator of the universe, the sustainer of the universe, wants us to call him Daddy. That's something else to be very, very thankful for. Now, the next one I realize is really three things. So don't give me a hard time about that. But they go together a lot in the Bible, and I want to give them to you once tonight, because there's just a great sense here from start to finish. We have this life of faith where we believe the things that God has revealed, and that gives us hope when we understand that our future is taken care of. And when we have that in place, when we understand, for example, that all our sins have been forgiven and we are going to be in heaven with God, then all of a sudden we can just be freed up to love people And by the way, all we got to do is realize how much God loves us, and we're going to have love to give to people. So these things are things that we could be thankful for all the time. All these things are gifts. We wouldn't have anything to believe in unless if God had revealed the truth about who he is to us. And we wouldn't have any real hope if it weren't for knowing that what Christ did about our sin problem, and that we will be in heaven with him, and that he does promise that all things work together for good. And God himself is love. And so anything in this world, in this universe, that really, truly is love, is from God. So we can be thankful for those things all the time. We can also be thankful for this book that we carry around, right? The very fact that we have what the Bible calls itself the Word of Truth, the fact that God has revealed himself to us, and that this truth is in the books. It hasn't changed in 2,000 years. And God wants us to know and enjoy and have our hearts changed concerning what this book has to say, especially about the gospel, the good news that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, Jesus Christ, so that whoever believes in him will never perish but have eternal life. And that God looks at every believer in Christ as being righteous, even though we got a ways to go in how we live to get there. He's going to get us there, and he sees us that way now. That's amazing. And that's something, I got to keep repeating, that no matter what happens to you or me tonight or tomorrow or the next day, whether things go better or things go worse, none of that will ever change this. This word is protected by God. And he said, I have written it. It's done. I'm protecting it in heaven and on earth forever. It'll never change. And same thing with the gospel. And did you know that the Bible tells us that God has given us wealth? And not only that, but the wealth that he has given us is the only real wealth in this world. The reason why it is because every other category of wealth that human beings treasure, no pun intended, can be taken away, can be destroyed, and it will be taken away. You know, you could say, well, you know, I got it in a bank and I got it insured five ways. That's all well and good, but you see, there's this thing that's going to happen someday. You're going to die. I'm guaranteeing you that when you die, you cannot take it with you. You just can't. Okay? Nobody has yet. You know, everybody who's died, the next day, that bank account had the same number in it the day before, until the children get a hold of it, of course. But you're not going to take it with you. So what kind of wealth is it that really, when it comes down to it, you, and the most important thing in life, which is you moving from this life to the next, you can't take it with you? And not only that, but you know as well as I do that most forms of wealth in this world are every bit as much a source of problems as they are for solutions. And that some of the most miserable people in this world are the richest, humanly speaking. But the wealth that comes from God is the only real wealth, and it increases. Every time that you learn something else from this word about God, that wealth increases. The knowledge of God is the greatest and the only real true wealth. And it comes with full assurance when we, as believers in Jesus Christ, read the Word of God and have the Holy Spirit teach us what it says. And nothing can take that away. Do you realize that what you have in your soul now and in your heart concerning who Christ is, concerning all the blessings that await for you in the heavenly places, concerning the truth that has set you free, that you've gone day after day and you've taken something from God's word and you found out that it totally transformed your understanding of something in your life, that you were able to overcome something in your life. Do you realize that's a permanent thing that you're going to take with you, and that when this universe is destroyed, God says in 2 Peter that one day the whole universe, the heavens will be rolled up like a scroll. He's going to destroy the current earth. But do you know what will be preserved in that? Little old you and little old me in our resurrection bodies, and all the wealth of understanding that we gained while we were here from God's word. Now that's wealth. That's wealth. That's the greatest insurance policy in history. Can you imagine an insurance company saying, you know, not only are we going to insure your wealth against hurricanes and against theft, but we're going to actually insure it against the destruction of this universe. Go see if you can get a policy from an insurance company that says that next week. And yet that's exactly what God says about the only true wealth that he has provided for us free of charge. Free of charge. Number 7. This is something that God says is ours, that he is here. The Holy Spirit is here to strengthen us with all power. And as a matter of fact, if you don't think that's true, the Bible actually says that this power that we have and ought to be thankful for and realize and enjoy and look for its what it's working out in our lives. This power is the same exact power that God used to raise Jesus Christ from the dead. Now that's power. That's power. I don't care. Again, let's think about it in human terms. You can look around and you can say to yourself, who in this world thinks they're powerful? You might say, for example, right now, the nation of Iran, boy, they think they're powerful now because they're going to build this nuclear, this and that. But can they raise somebody from the dead? No, they can't. And the rich and powerful in this world, the richest person in this world can't do it. And the most powerful general in this world can't do it. As a matter of fact, there's going to be a day when all those people are going to face the same thing and they're going to realize that that's the one thing you can't get out of. And yet, we have access to the same power that did it, that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That's real power, the only real power in the universe. Number eight, the eighth thing that we can be thankful for this Thanksgiving and next Thanksgiving and every day in between is that we have a certain inheritance. The inheritance of the saints is ours. We have been qualified already to share in an inheritance that goes on forever. Think about that. That's something that we can be thankful for every day because it depends on God, not on us. And we've already been qualified for it. You know how like whoever you are and we want to get a mortgage for a house and you fill out all the paperwork and then the days pass and the weeks pass and you're wondering, am I qualified? You know that feeling? Will they qualify me? Or you've applied for a job. Am I qualified? Do you understand that you have an inheritance that is reserved for you as a believer in Jesus Christ in heaven? And it won't fade away, and you're already qualified for it. And that's something that we can be thankful for every day of our life, because it's never going to be taken from us. Number nine, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you've already been rescued from the domain of darkness. Do you realize that the thing about human life that really threatens everybody are all the ways in which death turns on the scene? We've studied that a lot. All the ways in which evil, ultimately, the ultimate evil is death. Whether it's physical death or even more importantly, spiritual death. Being separated from God. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you've already been rescued from any of that ever touching you. That even physical death itself won't touch you. That's why Jesus could say to somebody that you believe in me and that you will never experience death. Meaning the finality of it. Meaning the pain of the punishment of it. Never going to happen. You've already been rescued from the domain of darkness. We've been looking at that this year in the book of Romans. You've already been rescued from the reign of sin. You've already been rescued from death. And you've already been transferred into the most marvelous kingdom in the universe. The very kingdom of God the Father's beloved Son. You're already there. That's something to be thankful for this Thanksgiving and every Thanksgiving. Number 10. And it's a shame, of course, that some people don't have this taught. But the fact of the matter is that by the blood of Christ, as a believer in Jesus Christ, your sins have been forgiven. And you can always count on that. And that's something that you can be thankful for every day of your life, that your sins have been forgiven. Your sins and iniquities, God remembers no more. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far God has placed your sins from you. And it all happened because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. That's never going to change. Jesus Christ accomplished that for you 2,000 years ago. It's finished, he said on the cross. And it is. And we can be thankful for that every day of our lives. Number 11, the fact that the Bible actually tells us that Jesus Christ, the Son of God in human flesh, is the head of something called the church, and we're his very body. We're actually Christ's body now. We're in him forever. And if you understand, if you have any understanding of how much God the Father loves Jesus Christ and how glorified he is at the right hand of God the Father forever and that he is totally beyond, he's untouchable in every way. Death can't touch him. Satan can't touch him. Nothing can touch him anymore. And you're in him. That's marvelous protection and that's marvelous blessing forever. And last year we studied a few classes on just looking at that one phrase in the Bible in the New Testament, in Christ. And we saw all of the blessings that are already ours, that are in Christ now, and we're in him and we have them. You see, that's the funny thing. I can say there's 14 things, but some of these things have dozens of things that are just below the surface of them. But we're in Christ forever. That's something we can be thankful for tomorrow and next Thanksgiving and every day in between. And then also, not only are we in Him, but Christ is in us. That to me is even more amazing. I mean, it's one thing for God to figure out a way to declare us righteous and put us in His Son. It's another thing, though, isn't it? To have Jesus Christ indwelling through the power of the Holy Spirit in our bodies. We've been studying lately what the deal is with our bodies, right? There are a lot of problems in our bodies. There's a manifestation of sin still in these human bodies, and yet Jesus Christ dwells inside of us. Now, I want you to think about that. If God has already said, I want my Son, Jesus Christ, to be in you forever, isn't that a pretty good protection? Isn't that a pretty good indication that God is pleased with you, that there's no issues between you and God, that life or death or angels or principalities or height or any created thing will never come between you and the love of God in Christ Jesus, because He's in you forever. My gosh, that's something to be thankful for. That's something to ponder. That's something to consider. The Bible calls it a mystery, and it is, but it's true about you and about me as believers in Christ. And then, of course, the ultimate thing, just the very person of Jesus Christ, as He's revealed, especially in the New Testament. All the things, all the facets about Jesus Christ that we pick up and we learn and we realize more and more and more as we study this book together. All of that. The Bible actually calls Jesus Christ God's mystery. And we're going to see a little bit about that in a couple of minutes. God's mystery. And then, of course, our ourselves being made complete in Christ kind of seals it all up. We're going to be made complete. We already are. The Bible says we're already made complete. So many people in life feel incomplete. I mean, don't they? Don't they feel like, you know, if I just did this, I'd be much closer to being complete. If I just had this, if I just this or that, but I don't feel complete, I feel incomplete. And yet the Bible tells us that we're already complete. By the one who ought to know, the one who designed us, tells us we're complete in Christ. That's something to be thankful for tonight, tomorrow, this weekend, and every day. All right, that's 14, that's all I have. Now you might be sitting there wondering, okay, now that I've seen them, I wonder where they came from. You might be wondering that right now, and that'd be a really good question. Well, here's what I have to tell you. All I did was go to the one book in the New Testament that is the textbook on Thanksgiving. Let's close. Come on, that's funny. I know you want to know which book that is. There's one book in the New Testament that's the textbook on Thanksgiving. And my clue on giving thanks, on gratitude, and I know you want to know what that book is, but I'm going to give you a clue, a hint. The hint is it's hidden in the title of tonight's message, if anybody remembers what that is. Probably don't. So here it is. It's the book of Colossians, which is why I said I'm going to give you 14 colossal reasons to be thankful. See, I do stuff like that. You know, I might think I'm just being clever. You know why I really do stuff like that? So you'll remember. So that from now on, you've got this funny thing or whatever in your head that says, if I want to be thankful now, where do I go? And you just say, that's easy. I just go to the book of Colossians and I just read a couple of lines and I know I'll find something there to be really thankful for. And it's true. So I give you that tonight. If you want to know where to go to be really thankful in the New Testament, the answer is the book of Colossians. Now, what is the, you know, I'm useless if I don't teach. What's the book of Colossians about? The book of Colossians is about Christ. And I joke about this. We used to ask kids in youth group and in prep school class and everything, questions, you know, and if they didn't know the answer, they would always blurt out, Christ. And I used to say, well, come on now, think about it, you know. And then I finally got to the point in my maturity and in my simplicity of devotion to Christ that I realized that they were right, and they'll always be right. And the fact is that everything that we have to be thankful for that's good and can never be taken away is just tied to one person, Jesus Christ. And that's the subject of the book of Colossians. It's talking about Christ, but it's talking about, notice it, it's Christ, but it's Christ how? What's that second line say? Or the second sentence? In the biggest way. It's kind of interesting. See, it kind of fits. The book is what? Colossians. We're looking at colossal reasons. And it's just interesting that if you say, well, what is it about the book of Colossians and how it treats Jesus Christ? The answer is that it treats him in the biggest way of any book in the Bible. That you can't get any bigger in the description of who Christ is than how he's described in the book of Colossians. Big. Really big as you can imagine. The biggest presentation of Christ in the Bible is in the book of Colossians. And therefore, I call him the colossal Christ. That's who we find in the pages of the book of Colossians. In the biggest possible way. We find out that he created all things. We find out that created all the mysteries are in him, that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in him. And I could go on and on, and I could do that, but when we're done tonight, you know what I'm going to do, right? You know what I have to do, and that is to recommend maybe that you find some time this weekend and actually read it for yourself. But that's the truth. That's what we get in the book of Colossians. The colossal Christ. And I mean by that that Christ is presented at his most glorious of any book in the Bible. It's the most glorious presentation, the most all-encompassing, the most amazing things we learn about him in the book of Colossians, the most wonderful things, the most mind-boggling dimensions of who he really is. If you want to know that, you have to go to the book of Colossians to find out. And that, by the way, is why the word mystery, we keep running into it in that book of Colossians. Mystery. The mystery of who Christ really is. And as our young people have been learning in youth group, they've been learning about Bible mysteries. It's a very important word, especially in the New Testament. Well, what is it? You know what it is? It's truth, but it's truth that was hidden in the past and then revealed by God at the proper time in his word. And in particular, of course, it was truth that was hidden in the Old Testament. You can search in vain for these things in the Old Testament. You won't find them because God held them and hid them until after his son Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose again, and the Holy Spirit came down, and then he revealed these things. That's a mystery in the Bible. And, you know, the mystery, the greatest mystery of all is Jesus Christ. There are some things about Jesus Christ that were not revealed, by the way, until the book of Colossians was written. It's very interesting. That if you go and you read what was known about Jesus Christ and you read through the Old Testament prophecies and you even read the Gospels and you even read what the apostles were saying in the book of Acts, okay, there's a body of truth there, but you check it out. You won't find some, the things that you read about Jesus Christ in the book of Colossians, you won't find until then. It's amazing to see that this is Christ at his biggest. Colossal Christ. That's the book of Colossians. So we've taken a look at those things this evening that are in that book that we should be thankful for. And we know that this book of Colossians is now, we know what it's about. It's about the colossal Christ. And we know that it's the biggest, most important book in the New Testament about being thankful. So let's put those things together. Christ at his biggest, and a lot of reasons to be thankful. Do you think they're connected? They are. The things that we have most to be thankful for that really just explode our hearts in wonder and joy and in confidence and knowing they can't be taken away are things about him, our big, colossal Christ. You see, we're thankful for him and for what he's done for us. And that's what the book of Colossians tells us. But you know, it's interesting because the thing, again, I want to emphasize is that these are things that we can go to and realize that we're thankful for them tomorrow on Thanksgiving and next Thanksgiving and every day of our life. No matter what's going on, whether it's a good day or a bad day, you could be facing something tomorrow that makes you real happy. But you could also be facing something tomorrow or soon that makes it feel really awful to be here. But in every situation you face in life, those 14 things don't change. That whether tomorrow is good or bad or indifferent or awful, you can give thanks for these good things that never change and never stop being good. Colossal things. And when you scratch them and you see what's behind them, like reading the book of Colossians, you find out that if there's anything good, like the Amy Grant song goes, if there's anything really good, it's really Jesus. It's that simple. One other thing. It's one of the great things, and I'll leave you with this evening, about the book of Colossians. You know, like I said at the beginning, we want lists at Thanksgiving, and we want to know, what things am I thankful for? But then I hope at some point in time you say to yourself, how, if I'm thankful for these things and these people, how do I express my gratitude? I mean, that's important too. It's one thing to know what you're thankful for, but you also want to know how to express what you're thankful for. And Colossians also does it for us. Colossians not only tells us 14 colossal things that we're grateful for, it then tells us what to do with our gratitude once we find our gratitude again by looking at some of those things in God's Word. You know, once we realize how grateful we are for Jesus, we find out that the book of Colossians tells us how to channel that gratitude. And you know what's amazing about that? What's amazing is that it's the same stuff that has gotten poured into us that we're grateful for is the same stuff that we use to express our gratitude. It's like love. We don't have any love unless it's from God. But once we have it and we're grateful for it, we have it. And now we can use that love from God to express our gratitude by loving other people. And that's what the Colossians book says too. The idea is that don't let it end. When you realize something that's true about Christ and you're grateful for it, don't let it stop there. Because allow that great thing to pour out of you, out to other people, so that they get a taste of Jesus and they can be grateful for him too. So in closing tonight, I want to give you these things that are ways in which we have that gratitude pour out of us. A way in which we can begin to channel our gratitude. Are you ready? Number one, compassion and kindness. Compassion and kindness is a great way to express our gratitude for who Christ is and what he's done for us. Number two, humility and gentleness. To realize that God, when we were his enemies, allowed his son to die. Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe, allowed himself to be in a human form and to be spit on and counted for nothing and go to the cross for us. What great humility was there, and what great appreciation we have for how great humility is, especially at least when we see it in him. But the fact of the matter is that we now can express that, have that gratitude pour out of us as humility too. To not be so full of ourselves and a little bit more allowing him to operate through us in the gentle way that he will. And to have patience with one another. If you think about how long did it take before you really understood that the gospel was something that you was for you, and that the word of God is wonderful, and that all the things that you treasure right now, how long did it take for you to get that? And how many times have we just really blown it in our walk? Many, all of us, every day. And yet God is still there every day saying the same things. I love you, I'm there for you, I'm for you. And that just tells us he's patient. So if you realize how patient he is, one of the things you can do to express your gratitude is to be a little more patient with other people in your life. Bearing with one another. Number four, bearing with one another. Not blowing up and saying, that's it, I don't want anything to do with you anymore. But bear with some of the real things that cause you to be hurting in your relationship with other people. I'm not saying they're not there. But I am saying that when you understand the greatness of who Christ is and what he's done, it gives you capacity to be able to bear with some things you otherwise wouldn't. And so maybe that's a good way to express your gratitude. And how about forgiveness of other people? How about it? When you stare at for a while at that gift of forgiveness, and you consider it, and you ponder it, and you realize how marvelous it is and how unexplainable it is that God so loved the world that he would give his son up so that he could forgive us all. How is that possible? And so when you say that about God, how is that possible? You see, then all of a sudden that thing that you said about yourself, it's impossible for me to forgive. All of a sudden you realize, wow, there's some possibilities here with God that I didn't realize, and I find it in me to do it. Or love. The love, same love that you see pouring out of that cross of Jesus Christ is love that can pour out of you. Or how about peace? How about the same peace that you get from knowing your sins are forgiven and that God is at peace with you and you're reconciled to him? Don't you think there's other people that need that? And you know how you give it to them? By telling them about what Christ did for them. It's so, so important. The Word of God. That's a gift that keeps on giving. As you get it in your heart, guess what happens? You can teach others. You can proclaim it to others. You can admonish people, encourage them. And you can even sing about it. What do you know? What do you know? The Bible says to do all those things. Uh-oh. Now we're getting to the last part. Get ready, because now it's going to get real practical. And yes, this is in the book of Colossians. And yes, this is all about gratitude. What God says in the book of Colossians, basically, at the end, is he says this, look, I know you're grateful that I'm your father. I know you're grateful that Jesus Christ has done all these things for you. And that's a relationship thing, isn't it? That you never knew you could have this great relationship with me, God says, and you can. Well, he says, you know, one of the great ways in which I like to have that pour out into your life, it's in the relationships you have, the closest ones. And so as he ends, and as you think about how do I express gratitude, and how do I have it overflow in my life, wives, guess how? To be subject to your husbands. Oh, I know it's not easy. And I know that they're going to cause you no end of saying, why is he doing this? But the fact of the matter is that you're not doing it for him, really. You're doing it because the Lord wants you to show that you understand the importance of... See, here's the thing. You've been reconciled to God. This universe was broken apart by sin and by Satan. And all the relationships that God put together were broken. So that when we step into this life of gratitude, understanding that he's reconciling all things to himself. Do you understand where it starts for most of us? In the home. The first place he wants to see a practical demonstration of things being put together again is in the home. And that requires organization and order. You know? It's like a cartoon I saw one time. It had all these horses on the ground and guns thrown all over the place. And you had the head sheriff turn to his deputy and say, you know, a posse is something you have to organize. It's the same thing about families. We think it's crazier than that, but that's all it is. God wants us to have an organized family situation, so that means wives being subject to your husbands. And guys, if we're grateful tonight, and we should be for all that Christ is, a real way to let that gratitude flow into our lives in a really practical way is just to freely love our wives. Despite how, you know, annoying and not being able to understand them, that our lives are really all about. That's never going to change. It's not. I remember seeing a guy on television who was married something like 65 years. And they said, well, what's your secret? He says, I stopped trying to figure her out, and now all I do is love her. And that's so true. And that's Bible, you know? So that's a way to be grateful. Children, you're not off the hook. Because you know what? You have the same Christ we do. And what God says to you is in your life, one of the great ways that gratitude for Christ can overflow in your life is to very simply be obedient to your parents. I'll just note in passing that if those three things were followed in our country to a larger extent than they are today, many of the things we're reading about that cause us so much fear and concern about our country would be wiped away from the headlines of our newspapers. Those three things. So realize how important that is, young people, that the home is your training ground for understanding authority, and that if you don't learn it there, it's going to spill out into the school, and if you don't learn it there, it's going to spill out into the community, and if you don't learn it there, you're going to come face to face with a policeman someday, and if you don't learn it there, you might be dead. So learn it. Learn it. Children being obedient to parents. Fathers caring for the hearts of their children. See, it always works two ways. It's like the Lord's in between us, and he's saying, children, obey. And he's saying, fathers, you're the adult here. Parents, fathers, your thing is to go beyond the behavior, beyond anything, and realize that you're the custodian of grace for the hearts of your children. And if their hearts are turned bitter, you got to do something about it, Dad. You got to show a way somehow, get a little bigger, like Christ is so big in the book of Colossians, and find a way to take care of the hearts of your children. And all of us can express gratitude this Thanksgiving and every Thanksgiving and every day in between with prayer. And to kind of bring in a little more of a flavor of Thanksgiving every time we pray. Every time. And then finally, to go beyond family, beyond the church, and think about the strangers in our lives. And think about our neighbors and the people that need, once again, themselves to see a little bit about who Christ is so that they can maybe be curious and have some hope and be turned towards the gospel. And the Bible simply says in the book of Colossians, it's beautiful. We don't have to have great witty conversation or strategies. Just be wise and be gracious. And you know why I love that as we end tonight? Do you realize what was the first thing that we got from Christ that we should be grateful for? Grace. We only have to give what He's already given us. Isn't that great? How can we be gracious with people? Because He's given us incredible grace. How can we possibly be wise in our dealings with strangers and wise in our dealings with neighbors? Because He's given us the gift of great wisdom in His Word and the Holy Spirit inside. All you got to do is relax and know these things to be true and allow God to work through you. Just present your bodies to Him and He'll do the rest. Hey, look, I'm done, by the way. Notice anything? That's 14 also. Isn't that something? And all of it's from the source of Jesus Christ. All of it is about Him. So you know what? In closing, perhaps the best way you can celebrate Thanksgiving this year, after you've eaten your fill of Thanksgiving dinner, when the football games get boring, why does it seem like the Thanksgiving games are the most boring of the whole year? I have no idea why. And you have that vague, you know, that vaguely full feeling of happiness, but you really can't put a finger on it, that you get after eating turkey. When you have all of that, how about just finding a quiet place wherever you are, and curl up in a chair and read the letter to the Colossians. Now, you know, we have no excuses, because a year ago, you could look it up. One of the classes, I did that, read the whole book, and it took about 20 minutes. So, no excuses. What will you find there? 14 things to be thankful for. 14 ways to let the gratitude overflow. And one colossal Christ. Happy Thanksgiving. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight for all these things. Where do we start? We just know that by going back to these things, our hearts will, not instantly, but as we get it, we'll become full again. And that You do really have everything we ever ask for more, beyond what we could think or imagine. And it's all there in the Word. But yet we know that we have to turn to that Word and hear it again and see it again and read it again and have the Holy Spirit make it come alive. But that happens. We know it does in our hearts and our souls. And so we're just so grateful for that too, that we know where we can always go to get the most important lists, to see the ways in which we are already blessed and should be grateful for, and find out ways to express our gratitude once we see it. And the other thing is, You keep it so simple because it's all centered around Jesus Christ. We thank You for all of that, Father. We just pray now for all our people. We pray that they would have a rich, blessed Thanksgiving in every way, but most importantly in their hearts, because of these truths that'll set us all free. Asking it in Christ's name by the power of the Spirit, we pray. Amen. My wrestling.